tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 21st of July, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sam Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Now, today we're going to talk a little bit about David Lammy, Keir Starmer's Justice Secretary. I'm expecting him to be removed and possibly put into another position by Andy Burnham. But he is still responsible, as we know, for some quite horrendous things, such as trying to get rid of jury trials, bringing in a policy where young black and ethnic minorities are not to be put in jail. Of course, we've seen this in action, where there's been migrant rapists have not actually been sent to jail. They've been given suspended sentences. And this latest piece of information about David Lammy is that he's trying to prevent crime figures being released that tell us the migrant heritage of the criminal. And I'm taking this from GB News. The headline is David Lammy in legal fight to cover up true scale of migrant crime rates. Now, why would it be that you don't want the public to know the true scale of migrant crime rates? Of course, it's because you want to promote diversity, don't you? But of course, you could say, well, they don't want the public to learn this because that could cause these migrants to be fearful. It could be inciting hate against them. But it's the truth. It's the fact. It's the statistics. The truth cannot be seen as hateful. Reality cannot be seen as hateful. And that is something that has actually been established, is that reality cannot be considered hateful. It's the way that this information is used, the way that it is presented. So I don't see why they can't produce this. They would just have to be careful in the way that they actually presented it. You can present it in the way that I do. I know, and I know the statistics that show that black people are far more likely to carry out violent crime. But that also means that black people are more likely to be the victims of that crime. So you can explain it like that, and that's not inciting hate against somebody, because you're also showing that they're also the victims of this. So I don't see any reason why David Lammy wants to cover this up, apart from he wants to hide the truth. Serious questions have been raised over what the government is hiding by not coming clean on the scale of foreign offending. And of course, this is all framed within this idea of foreign offending and migrants. Was the person a migrant? Was he legal? Was he illegal? But that forgets the number of people that are of migrant heritage. What about the people that are carrying out crimes whose parents moved to the country? They're no longer considered to be migrants, but they are of migrant heritage. I mean, those figures would be even higher than what we've actually got now. What about the problem we have in America, where people who are obviously non-white are being put down as being white? People that are clearly non-white, you can look at the pictures of them, and they've got Arabic names, they've got Muslim names, and they're being put down as white people. I mean, I have to try to find a reason for that, and it could be because in earlier literature, the term Caucasian was used, and they did say that mestizos could be Caucasian, Indians could be Caucasian, and it was based sort of more on bone structure rather than skin colour and features and that sort of thing. So it may be that it's a hangover from then, and the Americans are using the description for Caucasian, only they're putting white, when in actual fact what they mean is Caucasian, whereas some Caucasians aren't actually white. So, I mean, that there is a possible reason why that's going on in America, but it is certainly skewing these figures. We're not being told the truth. In Britain, it's better than in France, where you're not allowed to say anything at all about a person's migrant heritage or not. You're just allowed to say that they're French. And I think the same is in Germany. Over here, we do have some limited information on this, and we do have information on the ethnicity of the people that are in prison. And what's being asked for here is more detailed information, and the government are trying to hide it. David Lammy's Ministry of Justice is waging a legal battle to stop detailed migrant crime rates being made public. The Ministry of Justice is trying to overturn a ruling by the Information Commissioner, the Information Watchdog, which would lay bare the scale of foreign offending in England and Wales from 2018 to 2024. As I say, most people would see somebody black as being foreign, but according to the state, if their parents were given citizenship, then they're no longer seen as foreign. So a lot of people would say, well, even this isn't actually giving us the full details, but it's better than nothing. The Centre for Migration Control had filed a Freedom of Information request to uncover these figures, asking the department to publish the total number of convictions by nationality broken down by those offences for those 7 years. The Ministry of Justice, however, said revealing the truth would be too expensive, as some of the figures would breach the privacy of some of those offenders. Well, let's break that down. It would be too expensive. Well, clearly they have this information, because when somebody is arrested, when somebody is convicted, they record their ethnicity. So it's not going to be too difficult to look at the numbers. They have them all on a computer somewhere. And then they say some of the figures would breach the privacy of some of those offenders. Well, you just anonymize the data, don't you? You don't actually have to give the name of the person that carried out the crime. All the Centre for Migration Control is interested in are the statistics for what ethnic group that they actually come from. They're not interested in what their actual names are. So both of those reasons that have been given are, they're not good reasons, are they? So I can see why the ICO, the Information Commissioner, has overturned this. Both of its arguments were shot down by the watchdog. Last night, Mr. Lammy's department admitted to the Telegraph it was in the process of appealing the ICO's ruling. It is appealing to the General Regulatory Chamber, a first-tier tribunal which hears challenges against decisions by government regulators. So they're really serious about this. They don't want the public to know. I mean, one of the most shocking figures that came out was actually released by Dorset Police. And it was Annunciata Rees-Mogg that actually tweeted about this. And she's the sister of Jacob Rees-Mogg. She was a Euro MP herself, so I have no reason to doubt her. And this is why I'm claiming her as the source for this. And she produced some figures, and it was the number of crimes that illegal immigrants in Dorset are responsible for carrying out. I think it might have been sex crimes. And then when you look at the percentage of the population that the illegal immigrants make up, it shows that they're actually 550 times more likely to be involved in sexual abuse or rape. 550 times more likely. That is a really shocking number. And that's illegal immigrants. Of course, when you look at other figures, you can look at Afghans and Eritreans. They are 22 times more likely to carry out sexual assault or rape. So we know that these figures are absolutely shocking. And we have some of these figures, but David Lammy is seeking to prevent us getting any more of them. I think it's quite obvious why he doesn't want us to get any more of them, because it would show that diversity is a complete failure. It's not a strength. Diversity is a death sentence for many. The Ministry of Justice was soon accused of a cover-up by Robert Jenrick. It denied one was underway. Well, Robert Jenrick used to be the immigration minister for the Conservative Party. So why didn't he produce these figures when he was in the Conservative Party, when he was in power? Why is he complaining about it now, as if he wasn't the one responsible for denying this when his party were in power. The cover-up continues, Mr. Jenrick warned. Successive Tory and Labour justice secretaries have refused to publish his basic information, speaking as if he wasn't responsible himself, of course. Now he's in the Reform Party, but that doesn't negate the fact that he used to be in the Conservative Party when they refused to publish this information. A Reform government led by Nigel Farage would immediately blow the lid on what's really happening and begin deporting these dangerous criminals. Well, that would be good, but would they actually release the data on ethnicity, or would they just release the data on whether on somebody's migration status, whether they were an asylum seeker or whether they were a migrant? I mean, what we actually need to see is the full data on people of migrant heritage, people that are from these different ethnic groups that may have been living in the country since the end of the Second World War, maybe second or third generation of migrant heritage. And we need to see whether they are more likely to carry out these crimes as well, because when we look at the figures from other countries, it certainly seems that they are more likely to carry out crimes, particularly if you look at places like Denmark, Sweden. Again, in Sweden, it's very difficult to actually get these figures, but what people have done is they've actually gone through all the lists of people convicted and looked at the names, because, of course, if somebody's got a Muslim-sounding name, then they're not going to be ethnically Swedish, are they? So you can find proxies where the ethnicity isn't actually recorded, places where you're not allowed to record ethnicity. You can use a proxy. You can look at what the actual name is of the person. Of course, then anonymize the data so that you're not, as it says here, so that you're not breaching somebody's human rights or causing somebody to be targeted. The research director of the Centre for Migration Control, Rob Bates, has vowed to use every available means to expose the truth. It is clearly in the public interest for this information to be released, he said. And of course, the government would say, well, it's not in the public interest because it might cause community tension. It might provide fuel for the so-called far right. And we don't want to cause friction between community relations, do we? And of course, the government have form for doing that. I mean, that's what they said about the grooming gangs. This is why they wouldn't investigate the grooming gangs, is because they didn't want to inflame community tensions. This is the real reason why they don't want this information to come out, because they know that people would be shocked and scandalised by it. It is astonishing that the government is going to the courts in an effort to fight against such important transparency and raises serious questions as to what they are hiding. And that's a good word, that, transparency. This is what we want. We want transparency in government, and we want equality under the law. And that's all we want as nationalists. We don't want people to be persecuted. We're not supremacists. We just want transparency about these figures, what's actually going on with regards ethnicity and crime. And we also want equality under the law. We don't think it's right that if you're a white person, you get sent to jail for twice as long as a black person because you might have used a racist word when you carried out the offence. That's wrong. That means that we have a two-tier system. It means that certain members of the country, certain citizens in the country, are worth more than others, if their life is worth more than others. With this killing of Henry Novak, If Vikram Digwal had been found to have carried out a racist murder, he would have got 30 years. But of course he wouldn't be, because he was non-white. If the races were reversed and they said that Henry Novak had carried out a racist murder, he would have got 30 years, whereas Digwal only got 20 years, because they see it as, oh, you can't be racist against white people. And that's literally the way that these courts look at this. There was a recent case, and I think Mark Collette wrote about it. I say recent, it was a few years back. There was a white man, and his hand was cut off by a group of non-whites who were using racial slurs against him. And they used a chainsaw to cut his hand off. It was in a road rage incident. And the trial did not make any mention of the fact that they were using these racial slurs against him, that this was racially aggravated. And the person that did it, I think they got 6 or 7 years. And if it had been tried as a racially aggravated crime, they would have got much more. So we don't have equality under the law in Britain. All the while that we have this racially aggravated offence, which means that only white people can be convicted of that, of a racially aggravated offence, it means we have a two-tier system and we're not treated equally under the law. All the while we produce interpreters for these people. We're not all equal, are we? Because they're having an interpreter provided for them. We speak English in this country. If everything was provided in English, we'd all be equal. We would all be equal. We'd all have everything written in English, wouldn't we? So as nationalists, we're not calling for anything, I think, which is unreasonable. We're just calling for equality and transparency. Shadow Justice Secretary Nick Timothy said, Labour have consistently refused to publish sex crime data by nationality, even though we know migrants from some countries are much more likely to be convicted of rape and sexual assault. As I say, 22 times more likely if they're Afghan and Eritrean, and going by the figures from Dorset, if they're an illegal immigrant, 550 times more likely. Why are they trying to appeal against releasing the data? Do Labour just want to cover up the truth about foreign national offenders? Well, I would say that they do. They don't want this information to come out. They don't want people knowing the truth about these things. The people on the left do. They try to cover up this information. Even the information on the biggest UN study ever done on the results of diversity, and there was this big survey that was done, and the results were that in multicultural areas, people didn't trust their neighbours, that level of trust went down, level of civic engagement went down. People were more likely to just hunker down in their homes, watching the television rather than getting involved anymore. And the person that actually carried out this survey, this massive survey, he sat on it for a few years because he didn't like the results. He didn't want people to know the truth. People on the left live in a fantasy world, and they want to keep everybody in a fantasy world. They don't want people to know the truth. Of course, the truth hurts, but the truth will also set you free. In a letter last week, Mr. Lammy rejected his shadow counterpart's call for the full data to be published. In the past, the Ministry of Justice has released figures which account for all sex offences, but failed to reveal how many migrants are convicted of specific crimes, including rape, murder, and arson since 2018. And this is the way that they got away with covering up for the grooming gangs. When they did have an inquiry, they had an investigation of child sex offences, and they didn't include a separate category for the grooming gangs. They just included all child sex abuse. And they said, oh, well, the majority of child sex abuse is carried out by white men. And of course, white men make up 75% of the population, so you'd expect them to make up the majority of it. And they just didn't include a separate category for grooming gangs. And they said, oh, no, these grooming gangs, they're not responsible for, and Pakistanis in particular, no, they're a tiny minority of child sex abuse crimes, but the vast majority of the grooming gang crimes, it's a specific category of offence. And they just didn't investigate that. So that the whole inquiry was accused of just being a box-ticking exercise, and nothing came of it. And this is why they're now having to have another inquiry, a national inquiry, specifically looking at grooming gangs and specifically looking at the ethnicity that is involved with them and whether they picking their victims was racially aggravated. I think that's a part of it as well, or it should be a part of it. Department data showed migrants are behind 1 in 7 sex offence convictions in England and Wales. And I would say people of migrant heritage are behind much more than that. You know, this is still covering up the fact of people that are of migrant heritage. It has also revealed which nationalities account for the most foreign criminals in the nation, with Albanians right at the top. So we also have figures for all crimes, basically. And we also had figures for crimes that were on trains as well. The vast majority of crimes that take place on trains are carried out by people of migrant heritage. Mr. Bates' information requests wanted a more detailed breakdown, however. If the Ministry of Justice obliged, Britons would be told how many migrants specifically committed rape or child sex abuse rather than the broad sex offences category. And I think in Sweden, it's something like all the gang rapes that take place are from people of migrant heritage. So it's when you look at these specific crimes that you see the disproportionate numbers that are involved in this. The same would go for murder or manslaughter instead of violence against the person. So we're not being told about how many migrants commit murder or manslaughter. We're just being given figures for violence against the person. Of course, if you actually look at these statistics, as I said, it's serious violence where blacks are vastly disproportionate numbers carry out serious violence than whites. It's a ratio of 5 to 1, basically, that you'll see for violent crime and murder. In America, we get these figures. And we have some figures, as I say, in Britain, we have some figures from the David Lammy report. The Information Commissioner rejected the Ministry of Justice's claim that it would be a disproportionate cost to provide the data. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, all you would need to do is just use one of these free AIs, effectively. Just get it to scan all the statistics that we have and then say, well, how many of these different ethnicities carried out these different crimes? I mean, very simple. It's not going to cost a lot of money to do. The commissioner acknowledges that the request is wide in scope and involves the manipulation of a complex data set, his office said. However, complexity alone does not obviate the requirement to provide a properly evidenced estimate. So just because the government are saying, well, it's a bit complicated to do this, that's not enough of a reason to be not providing this information. In the absence of a coherent explanation of how the estimate has been calculated, the commissioner cannot conclude that the cost limit would be exceeded. So he's got them there. He's saying, look, you need to provide these figures. You're saying it's not going to be proportionate to spend this amount of money on it. Show us your estimation on how much it's going to cost. Show us the breakdown of why it's going to cost so much money. Because, of course, I think you could just get somebody, lots of people would actually do that for free, wouldn't they? If we had the data available for us, you could just run an AI through it. And that would give you these figures, anonymous figures as well, by migrant group, basically. They should be doing them by ethnicity. I mean, I don't really get this, oh, we just want to see the migrant figures, as if it's only people that recently arrived that have a higher crime rate. It's people that are second and third generation. I mean, we saw that with the jihadists and the Islamic extremists. A lot of them weren't people that just recently moved to Britain. They were second and third generation of people that moved to Britain in the 60s. So you can't just look at the numbers of migrants that carry these things out. It's migrant heritage, which is the important issue. That's the deciding factor, I would say. Nature rather than a nurture. It's not just the environment. It's the material that you have there in the first place. It also said the Ministry of Justice's claim that a full breakdown would risk identifying criminals could be easily worked around. And I'm shocked they put that down. They must have thought that this would be very easy to just prevent, basically. I mean, that's a ridiculous excuse, saying, oh, it might risk identifying criminals. Well, if that's the case, then why release any? You don't have to release any data at all, because you can quite easily anonymize data, especially if you're asking for numbers of migrants carry out what crimes. You're not asking for individual names, are you? The Ministry of Justice could remove any offence with fewer than 5 convictions and lump those together as one total. I don't really get what the point is of putting that in there. I mean, they're asking for specific offences like murder, manslaughter. That's not going to be fewer than 5 convictions, is it? The Home Office has publicised figures on asylum claims using this method before when contacted by GB News. So it's quite easy to do. It's quite easy to anonymise it. But in his letter to Mr. Timothy, Mr. Lammy said the Ministry of Justice already published a range of statistical breakdowns on foreign offenders, and it keeps its publication options under continuous review. Well, we want more detailed information on this. That's all they're asking for, is detailed information. Now we have another story concerning David Lammy here. This is in the Daily Mail. David Lammy's ministry paid £176,000 to social media influencers to promote Labour policies, including soft justice measures. And this reminds me of what Israel were doing when Bibi Netanyahu invited all these social media influencers to Israel. And he was paying them, I forget how much money it was, $6,000 or $7,000 for every pro-Israel post that they put out. We've got the same thing going on here. We've got David Lammy and his Ministry of Justice paying money to social media influencers to promote his policies. As if it's not bad enough that they're trying to strong arm the social media companies into promoting the BBC and the ITV, they're also paying backhanders to the social media influencers that people watch anyway and getting them to promote Labour policies. It's like they, I mean, this should be illegal, shouldn't it? Deceitfully getting people to do this. I'm sure that they don't have in their profile, I bet they don't say we've taken money from the Labour Party to promote whatever it is that they're promoting. I mean, I can't recall seeing that on social media. And if it was there, then people would not be likely to view that particular influencer, would they? Because they would see that what they were saying is being corrupted. The Ministry of Justice has paid £176,000 to social media influencers since Labour came to power. Online content creators were handed taxpayers' money to promote Labour's policies in the department, including its soft justice measures. Of course, we went into big detail on those soft justice measures. Myself and Sam Melia, you'll find it on the Political Prisoners podcast. We had a look at David Lammy's youth justice reforms, which is effectively not putting any young black people in prison at all, because they said that the statistics show that people who have been to prison once are very likely to carry out further offences. So in order to prevent them from carrying out these further offences, what we should do is just not put them in prison in the first place. I mean, absolutely astounding, astounding stupidity there, thinking that people go on to commit further crimes because they've been put in prison once. So David Lammy's suggestions literally say that we should not be putting these black criminals in prison. We should just leave them on the streets, which of course means that there's going to be more black victims. The Conservatives accused Justice Secretary David Lammy of paying for good publicity while he freed criminals from jail early and racked up a record Crown Court backlog. So this is something that the general public are not happy about, the fact that people are being released from prison early. I mean, all I can say is that when people are released from prison, they are put on a tag, they are put in a hostel. If they break their license conditions, then they will be sent back to jail. And my experience of being on probation was that in a lot of ways it was more harsh than actually being in jail, because you're outside, you can see people, you can have contact with your friends, but you're not allowed to. And at least when you're in prison, there's a big wall there between you and the outside world. When you're on probation, you're literally in the outside world with all of that temptation. Say you're somebody who's got a drug problem or whatever, you've got all that temptation around you, which you may not have had when you were in prison. So it is a hard life when you're actually on probation. It's not an easy life. Oh, they've been let out of jail early. They are actually on tag and they will be on probation, judging by my experience of it. But they shouldn't be putting rapists out early. I think they've been putting some of these terrorists out early, but the reason why they put people out early is so that they have time to help try to rehabilitate them. I mean, if you think somebody does a full sentence, say they've got a 10-year sentence, they do a full 10-year sentence and then they get released from prison, well, the state's got no right then to interfere with them at all. And that person may then end up on the streets, may end up homeless, may end up reoffending and going back into jail. Whereas if that person got a 10-year sentence and they're let out after 5 years, and then they've got 5 years where they're being watched by probation, and they're working on that person's rehabilitation, and they're helping them to get somewhere to live, and they're helping them to get work, and you can do all these things because it's still within their sentence. Whereas you can't do that after their sentence. So, I mean, there is some logic behind letting prisoners out after half of their sentence. But what David Lammy was going to do is just not lock up young black criminals in the first place. Justice Minister Jake Richards confirmed £176,140 had been lavished on influencer activity to work with content creators who can help us achieve our communications objectives. And you just wonder what other backhandlers are going to people in the ITV and the BBC to promote these left-wing ideas. He added, given their reach and the trusted relationships they have with their audiences, this can be a cost-effective and impactful communications channel for reaching target audiences in support of operational priorities. Well, how is this any different from misinformation? If they're paying these influencers to put out this stuff, they're paying them to change their opinion on something, surely that would come under the heading of misinformation. If I was to be taking money from a particular group in order to promote a certain idea, a certain ideology, wouldn't that be misinformation that I was putting out? Wouldn't I knowingly be putting out something that wasn't my own idea? It was somebody else's? I mean, it's fraud, at least. It's got to be seen as fraud. Topics the influencers were paid to promote included community sentencing, the ministry confirmed. Labour has introduced laws which will see tens of thousands of criminals avoid prison, while many of those who do receive custodial sentences will spend less time behind bars. So this community sentences is effectively not going to prison. And this is what they want to do for black youth. They don't want them to go to prison. So they have a disproportionate number of them in prison. And according to David Lammy, they're also then, shock horror, more likely to carry out further crime in their lives. So if we don't send them to prison, perhaps they might not go on to commit further crime in their lives. It's absolutely incredible when you have a read through that. I do recommend people listen to the Political Prisoners podcast with myself and Sam Media, where we went right the way through this report looking at what David Lammy's ideas were. And it's just astounding that anybody could believe this stuff. An existing early release scheme launched by Labour in autumn 2024 has already seen more than 60,000 criminals freed early. Of course, this is the Daily Mail, and they seem to have a selective blind spot, don't they, that it was actually under the Conservatives who first started releasing criminals early. Of course, they don't release nationalists early. I didn't get out early. I was forced to do the whole 50%, whereas some people are getting let out now after 30%, 40%. They forced me to do the full 50%. Other initiatives promoted for money by the online freelancers included recruitment campaigns for prisons, probation and the magistracy, along with public information campaigns to help citizens understand their rights. Shadow Justice Secretary Nick Timothy said, given David Lammy's woeful record as Justice Secretary, it is not surprising he needs to pay to receive good publicity. From restricting jury trials to releasing rapists early to locking up fewer criminals, Labour have utterly wrecked our justice system. Well, I would have to say Labour have only been in power for the last 2 years, haven't they? They did all this destruction didn't occur in the last 2 years, did it? It's happened over the last 25 years. It happened over the last 30 years, effectively, since Tony Blair has been in power. We've had all these problems in refusing to invest in the prison system. I mean, if we didn't have multiculturalism, we would hardly need a prison system anyway. Britain used to be known for its law-abiding citizens. But before the Second World War, everybody used to leave their doors unlocked. Crime didn't really used to happen outside of the cities. And now we have multiculturalism and we have mass immigration and we have imported people who statistically are more likely to carry out crimes. And now we have horrendous things happening. Machete murders, people throwing acid in people's faces, grooming gangs, terrorism, all these horrific things that go on in our country And if we didn't have the immigration policy that we have, and if we didn't have multiculturalism, we wouldn't have these problems. You see, when I make podcasts, I talk about things from my point of view, what I see going on, and how I, the ideas that I have, and the, all the ideas that I support for fixing the problems that we have. I'm looking for solutions. Whether what's going on here is you've got these influencers that are just taking money to promote what somebody else tells them to say, effectively. And this is the way that the government work. They don't seek to convince people by good argument. They seek to convince people by paying them backhanders. Anyway, we'll have to see whether David Lammy is still in the cabinet now that Andy Burnham has taken charge. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.